Good afternoon. This is the Andy Demandia Show on a little earlier today than our previously scheduled program. Glad to be doing it. Glad we're able to make it on here today. Got some conflicts coming up in the afternoon, so we had to come on an earlier time today. Glad to do it. Amanda is here from the UK. I am in the USA.
Yes.
Good evening, Amanda. How you doing?
I'm doing good, sweetie.
How's it going here?
Oh, it's fabulous.
And I, you know, because we're communicating here across, you know, well, I'm in California, you're in the UK, you know, 8,000 miles away, and I appreciate
it.
You know, it really is, and I thank you for you know, being able to you know, you being able to reschedule for an earlier.
Thank you, no problem at all, darling. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you. It's a rather warm day here in California. We're supposed to get monsoon rains, they're saying, this weekend, which we so desperately need. It is so dry here now. My back lawn is turning brown, and I don't want to water it too much because of the extreme drought. They're supposed to hold off on watering and so forth. We are in need of rain. And there's an incredibly destructive, massive fire in Northern California right now, causing all sorts of problems and havoc. Things are happening, and this is just unbelievable. And you know, you hear about it here in the States, in Kentucky, they had rain, or just incredible flooding that led to deaths and injuries and destruction of property. And you know, Kentucky, I mean, the southern belt of the USA, we used to call it Thunderstorm Alley as pilots. In the warm weather seasons, you just get with the cold air masses coming from the north and warm air and more moist, warm air flows up to the south, meet, and it causes convectivity or the clouds to start, you know, convective activity, and you get thunderstorms and blah, blah, blah. And it's just, you know, it's nothing happening forever, you know. And as a pilot, you see those thunderstorms, or one of them, or a few what they call air mass thunderstorms, you know, isolated ones, you navigate around them and so forth, or air traffic control reroutes you around them and so forth. But it is very unusual to have these spikes in, as we've said so many times before, we've talked about this, have these spikes in weather phenomena around the world, not just here, around the world.
That just are
contrary to normal trends tendency we can track and predict over literally thousands of years. And these deniers of climate trends have,
I know exactly what you're saying. I mean, it's crazy. Hopefully, the wildfires are not too close to you.
No. It's if I were to drive there in my car, it would be about 7 or 8 hours north.
Okay. Well, it's crazy, isn't it? Because there's that, and you know, there's other parts of the world are having issues as well at the moment. In France, they've had problems with drinking water. Literally, shortage of drinking water from having a drought. This is crazy stuff. You don't usually see this stuff in the news with all these things. It's scary, isn't it? I mean, it's not just one incident now, like every summer. It's several times throughout the year that we're seeing all these issues taking place. And it's getting very scary.
And when you go question you know, in global warming, there's all sorts of names for climate change, and you go, here's science, and they give you these ridiculous, you know, when you say here's evidence, this is happening. And let me show you a video, by the way, of icebergs melting. Let me show you this.
Sometimes those answers are so dumb you wish you could take them back.
For real.
Issue is under investigation.
Yes, Ben.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It needs to be further under investigation, I say.
Yeah. Hey, so how's it going there?
Yes.
What's going on in the UK?
Well, lots of incidents, actually. Supposedly, a man was shot on a bridge, Greenwich. I'll start again, shall I? Okay, so a man was shot in Greenwich. What is wrong with me today? In London. On the bridge, Greenwich.
What happened? What happened there?
It's saying that he had a firearm, and the police responded to multiple calls of reports of a man with a firearm, and it's crazy. They said that the man's injuries are not life threatening, An eyewitness described seeing a man with an item that looked like a semi-automatic 9mm or Glock-style gun. So, you know, it's interesting, isn't it, after our talks of guns and everything like that. There's no ongoing threat to the wider public, the police are saying, and the incident is not thought to be terror-related. Apparently, it says duct tape around his hand. A London Ambulance Service spokesperson said that man was taken as a priority to a major trauma centre. No other injuries have been reported. Roads have been closed. A man stuck in traffic said... a woman? Is that a man or a woman? No, it was a woman. A woman stuck in traffic. Saw a man.
Why don't we just be politically correct and just call them they? Yes. Yes, they.
They saw with a handgun.
I will never get used to that, but go ahead.
I know, right? Yeah. And they said he had duct tape around his hand and the gun was left. Was in his left hand. It looked like a semi-automatic 9mm or Glock style gun. I say he was in his 30s to 40s, wearing a red top. Oh, yeah, that's interesting. But she said she heard some shouting and then a big bang, which she believed was a gunshot. That's about it, really. That's about it. As exciting as it gets with that. Doesn't mention that anybody was hurt. I don't think. I can't see anything extra to that. I mean, there could be more that unfolds, but it's just that's just it at the moment. Okay.
That's a shame.
Here's the reporting about the Israel strikes as well.
I heard there was a militant killed in Gaza. You know, we made a strike. We took out the leader of Al-Qaeda, and Israel took out a prominent terrorist in Gaza. And I don't know what the collateral damage was in Gaza. I didn't read on, actually. I just heard about the taking out of a prominent militant there. But I don't know if there was any collateral. I guess we could easily look it up. But it's the only reason, you know, I think these folks who have whose destination and their mission is to create havoc, destroy lives of other people. That's what they do for a living, and you've got to find them around the world and take them out, whoever they are, wherever they are, and whoever countries, Israel, United States, the BBC, we all have to participate. I mean, the UK, the BBC. The BBC has to
be
strong in taking out, yes. You know what, you know what would be interesting? You know, because, you know, right now, as you know, we're on a mission right now to get this show. You know, it's a radio show that's streaming on the internet. We have phone lines like any other radio show and control board and studios and the whole nine yards. But we are on the internet, and we are, you know, 200-some-odd episodes underneath our belt, over 2 years. Not 2.5 years, I think. Anyway, but we're on a mission to get this show on broadcast radio, whether it be satellite or you know, AM or FM frequency. And we're working on that now, and discussions to a point, and we want those discussions to further and see what might happen. But I never thought of a station or BBC or something in the UK. I just realized it doesn't have to be a US company that picks us up. It could be anywhere in the world. We have listeners in 20 whatever it is, countries, 23, 25, whatever it is. We have listeners in these countries. And I told you before, right now, as we speak live on these microphones, we changed the time, so maybe not right now. It was a last-minute time change for the show. But normally, we have an audience in China, which is now 5% of our listeners are in China right now.
Are they still listening after what's been reported in the news today?
Yeah, really. And what's been reported, what Amanda's talking about is the you know, the China's halting cooperation with the U.S. on key issues as a result probably of Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan, which is kind of signifying our alliance with Taiwan and our support of Taiwan and their maintaining their democracy. And also what's happening now is we're seeing – China send military vessels off the coast of Taiwan. Now, whether that, you know, the buildup there, now whether that means anything is forthcoming, whether it's trying to flex their might, we don't know. But China could take out Taiwan in a heartbeat if they wanted to. You know, they could just make it disappear. You know, and Taiwan, yeah, we all know that. But I don't know what could happen. This is what is happening in the world today with Ukraine and Russia, China, Taiwan, Afghanistan. I'm not new to this.
I know.
You know what I mean? I've been here. I was born in the 50s and have seen a lot, and most proud of landing on the moon. I got to tell you, having been around the decades that I have, I've never seen the world in this kind of turmoil before. I don't think it ever has been, except maybe when you look at the entrances to the world wars one and two that this planet has engaged in, you know, the continents this planet has engaged in our past. And I hope looking ahead, and it could be months or years ahead, I hope that this unsettling, you know, this between countries and politics and conspiracies and all this, I hope it doesn't end up being something catastrophic for our species, you know, our society.
I hope so.
I hope not.
A lot of people saying, and have been saying in all fairness for the past, I want to say, so actually since 2012, and I know, okay, we know the significance of 2012, that everybody was like jumping on the conspiracy bandwagon saying, you know, 2012 is the end of the world, all computers are going to shut down, you know, everything's going to come to a standstill, mm-hmm, because the Mayans predicted in their calendar that only went up to 2012 and there was going to be issues from 2012 onwards. And it's been interesting that from 2012 onwards there's been all sorts of changes in the world that have grown and grown and grown.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, religious folk, and that is not in any way being disrespectful or, you know, I'm not trying to put you guys under a bad light. Respect you. A lot of them are saying, you know, of course, all referring to the Bible, well, we're in the end times now. But when they say end times, they don't mean end of the world necessarily. They mean the whole transformation of humanity and the planet and everything else. It could result, obviously, in something wiping out our species, as you just said. But, you know, what they quite often refer to in the Bible is that there's all sorts of, like, plagues and diseases that end up spreading through humanity. And, of course, we've had COVID situation and blah, 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 and more talk of other diseases and viruses and stuff taking effect. And then we've got the temperature of the planet heating up dramatically all these changes. So, of course, a lot of them refer to this as the end times, which I get, I understand. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting when you see their explanation of it, and then you've got all these events unfolding day by day with us, you know, and everything's getting even more crazy, as you said. Right now it's building up more and more. Lots of things and incidents just taking place, and everybody's out to get everybody. And it's interesting because as a psychological point of view, I remember them saying, people saying, experts and all sorts, that when we were going through COVID, that people's psychological issues were increasing because we were feeling so cut off from each other, and we were being told we couldn't go out and experience life, and we felt like we were like an animal in a cage. And I remember us having a conversation all the way back then when we were on the show. And through the thick of COVID, we were saying about the psychological effects it has on someone. If you tell them that they've got to stay where they are and they can't go out, it's like when you put somebody in prison, there's a certain amount of time, like within a week or two, before a psychological effect kicks in and they start getting aggressive. So they predicted that with humanity. And of course, they were starting to kick off. People were retaliating, and that got worse and worse through COVID. And now we've come out of COVID, and it's like nothing's improved. So they carried all that kind of angst through COVID.
Things have gotten worse in a way.
They have.
You know, right. Not only is it not improved, but it's gone the other way in some respects.
Absolutely.
I guess many respects.
Yes, and I think maybe, you know, in terms of a psychological aspect, you could argue that maybe COVID had some sort of effect on what's actually occurred now. because it gave people many opportunities to actually stop and pause and think about things. And it gives time for planning. It gives time for creation of new things. And it gives you also time to build up that anger and other issues and things going on. So with all those things taking place, you know, wars being planned out, and, you know, you see what I'm saying? You see where I'm going with this? COVID was a perfect opportunity for all new things to emerge in different ways. Mm-hmm. And I think that has very much so.
I think you're,
and viruses too.
Yeah. Well, they call it the. You're right. Now they got
monkeypox,
which is only transmitted by contact. You know, it's not airborne.
That's right.
Yeah. Do you know? You know what's striking to me? There's the gun violence is up dramatically in many cities around the United States, which is, as you just said, somebody got shot on the bridge in the UK, which is almost unheard of there because of your gun laws there, you know. But here, of course, it's we have more gun violence here than anywhere in the world. And, during we all kind of were banding together, work at home, you know, life on online life, standing in line to get toilet paper and paper towels at the local grocery store, whatever it might be. Wearing masks. This is before vaccination. When you and I are on the show, you know, every day. Back then, I think we were on every day or close to it. But anyway, we would go on and get all the data and talk about, 4,000 people died today. You remember those numbers?
Yeah.
You know, in one city or one state, the number was unbelievable. But the people who survived were all, wearing masks. They were at home doing the right things. And little did a percentage of the population know that when this thing was over and they could leave their homes, that they're going to be shot dead a short time after that, killed by somebody's handgun or rifle.
Yeah.
And, when I see and hear, and it happens, look at we get these news wire, things coming in all the time here, and reading the news and CNN and New York Post and everything else, hear about, this person got stabbed, this person got shot. As a matter of fact, a family just got killed at a campground in Iowa, I think it was. Somebody came into a tent and shot and stabbed the husband and stabbed the wife and strangled and shot a six-year-old girl. A little boy survived, and he went and killed himself. They say it's a random attack. In their tent, camping in a state park. Just camping, summer vacation, in their tent. Somebody broke in and killed the family. Just some nut, goodness. Whatever. And then the guy killed himself. And these are people who just a year or so ago were all, together in their homes and being good and being careful and spending family time and all these things. And then you leave your house and you're shot by somebody, somebody's gun takes your life. I'm just like, man, what kind of world, what kind of society is this? It baffles me.
I know exactly what you're saying.
It baffles me. And these are human lives. These are people who had, just like you and I, Amanda, are sitting here with our lives and family and loved ones and everything else and doing things that we're doing. And suddenly it comes to the end. Boom, done. You're done. It's just hard to.
It is crazy to think everything can just end in the blink of an eye. Oh, there's a dog barking outside. Apologies,
I hear that.
To the background.
I hear that.
Yeah.
Maybe he wants to come on our show. Go get him.
Oh, maybe. I should invite him and wonder what kind of conversation would come out.
Yeah.
You're barking mad. But I get it. I'm lost for words most of the time. And I must sign to our listeners like I'm not capable of stringing a sentence together.
No, you quite to the contrary. You string great sentences together, actually.
And I think, do you know what happens with me is I noticed that when I get passionate about something, sometimes my mind goes at a million miles an hour. And I'm trying to get out the words that are going through my head so quickly. And I'm kind of learning how to slow that process down so that I can focus on exactly the things that I need to say. But I get so carried away sometimes in the passion of explaining things, I just, trip over my own words. It's interesting how my mind works like that. But,
sometimes you just need to.
If you would just lean back and relax.
Thank you.
Absolutely right.
Yeah,
I do.
I
need a margarita or a tequila or a beautiful drink right now.
Oh,
maybe
yes.
Sex on the beach.
Oh, yeah. Now you're talking my language. Speaking of which, more and more we're starting to hear about. Well, it depends if you're listening for this or not. But more and more, you're starting to hear about relationships taking on additional partners while in a committed relationship, whether it be a marriage or long term dating, whatever it might be. And it is long seen as something taboo and oh my gosh, and but it's not mainstream, nor will it ever be. But there's rising interest in this thing called open relationships. Open relationships.
Right. Yes.
And there's a popular podcast. We should get the anchors of that podcast on our show, maybe. Think about that. Anyway.
What kind of anchors, Andy? That's just,
Yes. In the U.S., it's been – do you hear much about this there where you're at in terms of relationships and the thing about
being
open?
I think you hear it everywhere, to be honest. I mean
– Yeah, more so now, though. Isn't it more so, or is it just me?
When you're on Facebook and you get some random stranger try and add you as a friend or something, and quite often you check out, who's this person adding me? Do I know you? And you scan their profile. And quite often you see things like, divorced or widowed or in an open relationship. They're usually the three things that tend to pop up. I mean, I think that's because, one, I'm a woman, so I quite often get men who message me who I don't want to label everybody the same, but quite often they try to swindle you into having some sort of relationship with you and convince you they're somebody else. Because we talked about this on a previous show. I used to get guys message me pretending they were in the forces, the army, that they, wanted someone to talk to, and then they would ask him for money. Can you send me money? I'm like, really?
Dear.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'll send you money. Sure.
Jeez,
no.
Unreal.
And they really do romance.
There's a woman by the name of Dedeker Winston, and she's in the U.S. I don't know where, but she's around 6 or 7 years ago, she started this podcast I'm talking about. And along with the co-producers, that's not her real name. Dedeker Winston is not her real name. And they decided whether to use the real name on this a non-monogamy show. And but around 2016, this particular host of this podcast noticed a real explosion of interest around this type of relationship. And then she went on to start working as a dating coach, specializing in those types of relationships. Everybody's counting for the pen and pencils right now. Who's this? Where? Who? What? What's her name?
Yeah,
what's her phone number? And that's at that time is when she saw the biggest change or turning point or pivotal point, of all of a sudden, so many people online, like you were just saying, being, they say, hey, being willing to talk about being non-monogamous and express the fact that they have interest in these type of relationships, not to belittle the committed relationship that they are in and not to take away from the love that the two people in that relationship share. It's just they have an understanding. Okay, bam, bam, bam. They say, okay, I'm a sensitive new age shy guy. You know what I'm saying? So
of course, I remember the song Breaking Lily.
You remember? Yes.
Awesome.
So for me, I wouldn't know. I'm just oblivious. I mean, truly, people know. You're just playing that. No, I truly, in my single days, I look back at my single days and realize, God, I probably missed so much opportunity. Anyway, no regrets. I'm just into my flying and my guitar and my girlfriend at the time, and anything that was external to that, I was like, I was just I don't know, whatever.
Isn't it interesting though? Yeah, right. Isn't it interesting how, I think that's a common human trait, isn't it, to think what we missed out on or what we could have had. But it's like, really? What if we had all these things and something awful occurred from it, or, you know, and it's like, what truly are we missing? Because I don't know. I mean, I guess in terms of sex, people could list a whole list of things. Well, I could have tried a threesome experience. Well, I could have, you know, done a gangbang. Oh, I could have gone watching.
Oh, my
know,
God.
A group of people have sex in public. The list goes on. Oh, I could have tried BDSM. And is it BDSM? S&M?
Yeah, I think that's,
I don't know.
Or
yeah.
Is it? Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
All these things. Yeah. And I guess it's a curious mind, isn't it? And, of course, ego is kind of like, oh, yeah. Yeah. I want to try these things. I don't want to know what it feels like. I want to get as much as I can so I can feel real good and better about myself. And do you think a lot of that stems from wanting to feel worthy of having those things? Where do you think things
come
from?
No, I think it's more of an internal sex-related drive. I think it's more of a curiosity, go out and do it and feels good. Be so cool to explore and let it loose and do something like that. There's a woman by the name of Sarah Levinson, and she's a counselor at the Creative Relating Psychology and Psychotherapy office in New York City. Sarah Levinson is her name, folks, if you want to look her up and whatever. But she specializes in sexuality, relationships, dynamics, and has also noticed an increased interest in these types of relationship within the past 10 years. And, you know, before 10 years ago, it wasn't as often as talked about, as common as it is now, according to what she has said. And the account and the data is showing right now that there's a growing interest in, I don't know what you want to call the consensuality, I guess, consent of non-monogamous relationships, including open relationships, that so many people, say there's cultural factors and job factors and pressure in life and things that lead to a wider embrace of non-traditional types of relationship styles, you know, and the pandemic may even played a part, you know, maybe the pandemic played a part, you know, when you're locked in together and you're like, you know, 2 years, you know, you're okay, you know, whatever. And I wonder, but you know, it's also, this is very, very, very interesting. What I'm about to say is that during the traumatic pandemic, where the world population was held at bay, and couples were forced to stay in literally confinement within their domicile, their homes or apartments, whatever it might be, for a couple of years, that there was going to be this sudden wave of the millennials and the boomers and all this, you know, a sudden wave of a new population of babies. It never happened.
Right.
Never.
Of course.
Never. Ever happened. If anything, it declined. It went the other way. You know?
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? I think they predicted, because they, on one hand, their logical mind was saying, okay, because everybody's home and with each other, they're going to get bored, and one of the things they're going to do is probably have sex more. On the other hand, the truth of the matter was, we were more fearful of being in contact with each other, even if you were in the same house, of possibly, you know, having that kind of intimacy. It psychological effect kind of reversed, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it never happened. That baby boom, like explosion of what that, you know, millennials, there's a name for every explosion of babies. You know, there's a name for that people born from this year to this year are considered this, you know. I forget if I was a baby boomer or not. I don't know what I was. I don't know what I am now. It never happened. And, you know, talking about the pandemic itself being an impetus for these types of relationships to occur more openly and be more visible, it's, you know, it's very possible. But that may have been a factor. And the question is there a wider embrace of these one might consider to be a non-traditional type of relationship style than there was before. And my thinking is, I've heard more, when you say hear more about it, where do you hear? I don't hear about it. You know, I just hear about it in conversation with people I know that
yeah,
didn't used to happen in conversations. You know, I've met women and had opportunities with women where they'll ask point blank, "Are you in an open relationship?" I mean, just like that, bam. Are you? Oh, are you, oh, you're so cool. Are you? You're married? Are you in an open relationship? You know, just like that. Let's go to Starbucks. Just like that. Same, you know, same breath. But that type of relationship might be actually climbing, but I think, you know, on platform or how wide the uptake might actually be, I don't know if it's any different than it ever was, or is it just talked about more often now, you know?
I wonder why that is. Because, I mean, you know, thinking about it in my mind, that when you have an open relationship, there's obviously a certain amount of love between you and the person you're already with. But what is it they are actually seeking from somebody else? Because if you're truly fulfilled by a partner, you don't feel the need to look anywhere else. You know, when you're in love with somebody, all you want is them. You know, you want to sleep with them all the time. You want to be with them all the time. Everything feels fantastic. And it makes me wonder how long into a relationship that they suddenly announce, "I'm in an open relationship," or whether that actually occurred from the start because that's the way they like to roll. And they're not then truly, truly in love with the person, but they just love them for certain aspects. They enjoy being with them. And maybe, I mean, I would see it as, personally speaking, I love to speak to people who are in open relationships to get a perspective, because in my mind, I see it as, well, it must be a sexual thing that they're wanting to find somebody else to have sex with. Maybe because the sex between them and their partner isn't that great. And instead of leaving that partner because they actually enjoy their company and love them in a way that goes beyond sex, you know, that they're just trying to get that from somebody else. I don't know.
But here's the question. See, that would be to – but let's say you have a relationship where it's consensual. In other words, the couple involved, they have great love, admiration, respect, a great life together, and share all these great things that a relationship can bring. But at the same time, it's consensual that they can venture out, so to speak, however you want to say it, here and there. And if that happens – let's make an agreement that if one of us does do that, or if we do that, it will not lead to a breakup of our relationship. And that's an understanding. If this happens, we'll work our way through it. It's discussed beforehand. You'll work our way through this. Well, if it should ever happen, let's make an agreement now that it might be very hurtful to the other person, whatever, but let's decide that what we have, the foundation that we have, the strength that we have is too strong for that isolated incident or whatever it might be, unless it's more than isolated, perhaps, because many of these relationships end up in divorce and remarriage. You know, they make that agreement, and to any degree, to any fraction, we're both in this open relationship, bam, whatever happens, happens. As a matter of fact, I remember a movie, and I don't remember the title of the movie, maybe you've seen it, where a guy and a woman, I don't know if the woman's married or not, I forget, or is it the guy, one of them, I don't know, both of them may be married or one of them is married, for ages, for decades, oh, what is this movie called? It starts when they are young. And once a year, they have a romantic rendezvous in a villa somewhere, some romantic getaway. And every single year, around the same time, for decades, it goes on forever. And then something happens at the end. I forget the – what is the movie? Some of our listeners are probably thinking they know it or they saw it or they know what it's called or something. But that was a fabulous interpretation. You know, that was a great – that was done so well. I just remember that. And I wonder when people – see that type of film depicted right in front of their eyes, that relationship rather depicted, do they put themselves in the actor's shoes? They wish I was like, oh, that would be so cool to have in my life. That would be so cool.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I'm sure it goes beyond many of the things that I've suggested, because obviously I can only see things from my perspective, what I've experienced, how I feel morally, what I could do. And that's all we can ever really base any kind of understanding on. So in my mind, I don't understand how that would work for somebody. I mean, if they explained it to me, I probably would understand it, but I would still feel some sort of detachment from that, because I'd be like, well, no, I couldn't do that personally. And so,
yeah, It's definitely you got to question some level of integrity there somewhere. You know, because you were just saying earlier that if you have this committed, wonderful relationship in so many respects, I mean, what relationship is absolutely perfect, but in so many respects, the desire to drive to venture would be non-existent or minimal, if anything. So the only thing I could that might alter that would be a lack of honesty regarding how committed they are within the relationship. You know what I mean? There's maybe they might, in other words, they're living a double life.
Yeah. And I think, like I said, there's so many elements to this, isn't there? Because the human makeup is just is a massive spectrum of all sorts of things. We don't just fit in one pigeonhole. We experience many feelings and many thoughts and many directions. And so, you know, it could be a huge amount of number of reasons why people have an open relationship. Like, for example, there's a couple happy together, but they want to experience other people that maybe then helps their relationship thrive more. Or they have a learning. Some people might see it from a deeper point of view and say, well, I want to learn what it's like to be with somebody else and then bring that to our relationship. But, and then, you know, for me, personally speaking, I'm insecure enough as it is as a person. So to actually be in a relationship with somebody in an open relationship would make me way too insecure, because I'd have to feel a certain amount of attraction and love for someone to be in a relationship with them in the first place. So then if I go into a relationship with somebody with those feelings, and then knowing that they were possibly having that with somebody else and not me, and they were enjoying it, that wouldn't make me feel very special. That wouldn't make me feel very loved. It wouldn't make me feel like I was worthy of one person's, being the only person that somebody could dedicate their life to. That's just me speaking personally.
Sure.
And I'm sure many people feel the same way. But I find it very brave, actually, for people to be in an open relationship. That must take a certain amount of confidence.
Especially if it is a consensual. In other words, you know.
Yes, of course.
The rise of these consensual types of relationships. I mean, there is a rise. Right? There is a rise of these types of, or I should say, a rise in the acknowledgement of them. Maybe the actual percentage is not increasing. It's just the conversation might be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's all sorts of extremes. It could be anything from living with multiple partners and sharing their financial obligations, or it could be supporting a partner in a once a year, you know, free pass rendezvous like that movie. It could be a couple that's into swinging and go to swing and husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend go to swingers parties. And there are swingers clubs. There are all in every major city and in London. I mean, they're everywhere. You can look them up if you're I'm sure business people travel and couples travel and they say, hey, where's the local, you know, Las Vegas? Where's the, you know, there's a known one in Vegas. I forget the name of it. I've never done that, just to be clear. But anyway,
it's a blast world.
But I guess but they're all under the umbrella of what considered to be a consensual, non-monogamous umbrella type of relationship. And I guess what the difficulty might be to do is to establish a distinction, differentiate between those types of arrangements and other types of a non-monogamous type of relationship. Polygamy. What polygamy means, participating in multiple intimate relationships, right?
Yes.
Right. So,
it's very fruitful, isn't it? I mean, I get so baffled by it all. Yeah.
And you know what? Here's what's interesting also. I've got some friends, a couple of girlfriends. Friends of mine who are women. I've got many, many, many more friends in my life who are women than men. I've always had a lot of, you know, I've had, I remember, you know, hanging out with I'm still friends with a lot of my exes who I had long relationships with. you know, or an yeah. acute term. Well, it didn't happen long ago. We're still very good friends, even though these relationships happened decades ago. We're still real good friends to this day. And I remember asking one girl, after we were dating, we had our fling, whatever, we're still hanging out. And I would tease her once in a while, say, oh, can you imagine under the blue moon, da da da. And she'd say, oh, Andy, you're like my sister. you're like so all these girls. He's like, Andy, you're like a girlfriend, man. You're like my girlfriend.
Aww.
No respect, you know. No, but I always have. But it's just kind of interesting because I've had girls now, good friends that are women, girls who are called women, okay, that call me. I'm going to be polite, but call me a lot to discuss various things that are going on in their lives. And I'm there for them, and I add advice, and I'm a shoulder for them to lean on and a pillar in their life, especially single moms and single girls and women that are maybe unhappy in a relationship. And my cell phone goes off all the time. And sometimes, you know, I'm busy, tied up in things. I can't talk. I'm in the studio, whatever, and I'm just – and I swipe it off, so I'll call back. But now, here's the interesting thing. There is no sex in these relationships. There's no physical, there's no intimacy. But you would think by listening in our conversations that we are husband and wife.
Wow, okay.
You know what I mean? But there's no physical contact whatsoever. Zero.
Okay, but you could say that about two female friends, male friends don't necessarily speak the same way to each other because the whole masculine an emotional aspect of it that changes very much. But actually, it was a curious question because I know somebody who was really good friends with a guy. She, obviously, a her, he, she, her. He said he, she.
They.
So they, yeah. And she was having this really good friendship with this guy. And then he suddenly cuts contact with her because, you know, he admits that he likes her and she's like, oh, I'm sorry, knowing that she was already in a relationship. But the moment that they had that discussion, and I'm sure maybe it was just embarrassment, he pulls away and, you know, goes off and does his own thing. And it's a shame because that relationship apparently was really, really good. Really good.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they both made each other laugh. They both enjoyed each other's company. And it's just, and I've noticed this with guys because I've tried to have friendships with guys in the past. And quite often it just never works out because there's always some sort of, they try to have something with you. So it makes me wonder how the male mind or makeup works in that sense, because I hear that quite often that men can struggle to have relationships, you know, a friendship with a woman. But it's not the same for women with men. We just don't function that way. But I guess because we're very emotional creatures and we love bonding with men or women, and it's easier for us in that sense, for that transition. I don't know, but
have you ever heard the expression? It is. Have you heard the expression now? Another starting to hear more of is this friends with benefits type of relationship with people other than their primary partners, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For some, it might be an open relationship, for it might be that free pass, for some, it might be one night stand here and there, a brief sexual fling with a friend, you know? And I don't get that. Oh, friends with benefits. I mean, just, you know, why do you even need to say that? Why do you have to add that friends with benefits? Why can't you just say friends? And why even talk about it? I don't get it. I don't know. Maybe I'm an old conservative fogey. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah,
I
guess because all friends don't go and have sex with each other. So I guess they have to label it as...
But why do you have to announce it? Why do you have to announce it?
I mean, I guess when it gets dropped in conversation with people...
Then what are you doing? Oh, yeah, I have a friend with benefit. Whoa. Like, so I don't give a fuck. You know,
it's
I don't give a
boasting point, I think, for people as well.
Friends with benefits.
That they have
break.
That. Yeah.
If I had friends, well, with you, you know, aside from you and I, if I had friends, by the way, for our listeners, Amanda and I have never met ever, and we have over 400 some odd shows, because a lot of people, when I say that and I listen to the show, and they're like, what? Get out of here. What? You guys got something going on. Are you? Come on. Are you? Yeah, no, we've never met. Anyway, and that's kind of cool. But anyway, it is. It truly is. Probably pretty neat, really. I couldn't. If I had, let's say I was single or was just in that type of relationship, whatever, or let's say I was having relationships and being quiet, you know, just having, I guess in that case, you call them affairs, right? You call them affairs, you know, talk about it, including your other significant other.
Yeah.
But if I had any type of relationship, no matter what my status was, I wouldn't go telling anybody about it. Because nobody needs to know. Nobody needs to know. Why is it anybody else's business? What happens behind closed doors in my life?
Yes, absolutely. I agree. I think we so willingly express a lot in this world, especially with social media now. Everybody's like, well, I have this platform that I can say whatever I want and I can get away with it because there's nobody right in front of me to stop me or, you know, slap me in the face or whatever. There's no real immediate threat there. So, you know, everybody just goes on and they spill all this poison over everybody and they say things as well. Like they exploit their lives over Facebook. Like the amount of people that I've known in the past, and I say in the past, and I'm talking in the past tense because I'm no longer friends with some of these people. And it's like the smallest thing or the most dramatic thing that happens, they've got to, you know, air their dirty laundry all over Facebook for everybody to know what's going on, how they feel about it, what was said, what they did. It's like, why do people have to know all of this? It's an outburst, clearly, and they just want to get it out and people to know that they've been wronged or they're angry or whatever it is. But it gets very detailed and very personal sometimes. And I think now, you know, everybody knows your business and Facebook knows your business.
Yeah, it's unreal. TikTok, Instagram, all those, whatever you call it. You know, I finally got those names right. How do you like that?
right?
Took me long enough, eh? But, you know, so you have that extreme from, you know, the friends with benefits, couples that are swingers openly. And they, you know, hey, cool. Hey, whatever. Hey, fine. You know, fine. You know, they agree with, that's great. You know, great. You know. But then you also have the don't ask, don't tell style of open relationships where both members of a couple permit the other to have that type of relationship with other people, and they just don't want to discuss the experience together. They made that agreement. It's consensual. They have an agreement that, okay, whatever happens, but we just won't talk about it. But you're okay with it. I'm okay with it. I'm okay. You're okay. Remember that? But it's just kind of interesting that we're starting to, you know, that there's therapists and psychologists right now and authors that are starting to openly have practice where they consult and counsel people who are in these relationships, you know, as a form of, you know, of a therapeutic, you know, resolution or okay or whatever it might be. But people are of all stripes, you know, and it's amazing. You know, there's a whole lot of people that you might know, that I might know, that we just, you know, run into, you know, socially here and there. People we know of, friends that have at one time or do or will participate in these types of relationships. It doesn't matter what walk of life they're in, you know. It just, the past 2 years, you're seeing quite a bit of diversity among the participation in open relationships and to different degrees, like we've been discussing, whether it's open swinging to one extreme to just consensual, you know, it's okay, I'm okay, and you're okay with it either way, to swingers, to we give each other permission, but let's not ever talk about it. To the affair, you know, where somebody literally is going behind their significant other's back and having an affair when there is no agreement to do so. But I wonder just what, you know, as we were saying before, what the drive is. And I guess it's just part of it, you know. I'm just thinking here. That's why I'm kind of hesitating for a minute.
Okay.
I've got these two-bit two birds, scrub jays that Mutt and Jeff, you know, told you about Mutt and Jeff. I think I've sent you pictures of my birds.
Yeah, yeah.
They live outside my backyard, and they're good friends of mine now, these two birds. And they have an amazing relationship together. I see them fight. I see them together. One feeds the other. You know, it's and they're birds, you know. And you see, you know, wild animals having monogamous relationships together instinctively.
Yeah.
Instinctively.
That's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And we can trace back in our in terms of our earliest ancestors of relationships and child rearing in you know early human development. You know, there's evidence.
Yeah.
And I wonder, looking back at a more primitive population or looking at the wildlife, do they have extra, you can't call it marital, but you know what I'm saying, affairs outside, what do you call them, affairs, whatever, relationships, even if they're birds or early, you know, our ancestors way back then. How far back does that go? And does
well,
it go beyond
yeah.
our does it go beyond our species?
Yes, it does go beyond our species. They studied this with many breeds of animal. That you'll find that there's, for example, one species of animal protects, like the male animal protects the female animal, has babies with her, and is very family orientated. And then you'll get other animals that just will have sex with multiple other animals and reproduce or whatever. So it does go on within the animal kingdom. However, you then need to make the comparison between humanity and animals. Although we're very, very similar in how we are and our makeup, we have things like emotion, and then people argue, okay, well, animals experience emotion too. And I would like to see anybody really, truly deny that they do, because there are many incidences where you see animals reacting in a certain way which would suggest an emotional response. So is emotion in humanity what ties the bonds? Is it more beyond the physical makeup? Is it an energetic thing? Because there's also an energy thing where a lot of people will explain that when you have a physical intimacy with another human, you energetically connect. And you leave an imprint on them, and they leave an imprint on you, and you have this sort of cord connected between you and them. So, you know, quite often see that going around on social media that people have made up these actual pictures from that wherever they got that knowledge from, that suggests that with every partner you ever have, you are connected to them and energetically. And the person you sleep with next is sleeping not only with you, but the people that's come before you because of the energy that has been transferred.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that fascinating too. So it makes me wonder if it's more than emotion, more than energy, whether it's more than the human makeup. What actually ties us to have those bonds to stay with one person? Is it society and the conditioning that we've had over the years to always be with one person? And then you look to things like religion, and religion will tell you in one religion you can be and you should dedicate yourself to one person and not sleep with anybody before you marry that person. Another religion will say, hey, you can have multiple wives. So it's interesting where all these questions and answers, you know, they come from and they arise, and what connects what and what makes it this. And I love our conversations like this, Andy, because you and I really do pick holes in certain subjects and try to come up with what we think, not as necessarily the correct answer, but spitballing ideas of, is it this?
Yeah.
And it sparks it just, so much, doesn't it?
It does. It absolutely does. Yeah. One thing I wanted to get into, which we might not have, I don't know, we have like 5 minutes left for this particular show, maybe, sometime in the future. Next week's going to be tough. I had a lot of traveling next week. We're going to be on the air. We have a guest. Let's talk about that for a minute. Our Monday's guest is a a very famous square dancer, I believe. am I right about that, or is that?
She'd probably give it a bloody good go, but.
Not square.
No, she's
swing your partner, do si do, da ba di di di. But yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Swing it to and fro.
You go fro. Yeah.
You say hey, I say yo.
You say hey, and I say yo. Swing your partner, do si do. Hey, we should. There we go. I have a calling for my next job. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah, yeah. Who's our guest Monday? Right. Talk about our Monday's guest.
Well, it's a lady that I know, and she's an incredible species. She's an operatic singer.
She's an incredible species.
Yes. she's had global
she's not human.
Success.
She's an amazing, very unique species.
She's amazing.
No, sorry, go ahead.
She's a unique human.
Yes, she's uniquely human. Yes.
Mm-hmm. She's had a lot of global success with her career in singing. She recently performed for her country at the UEFA Women's Euro 2022.
We played that,
football.
Folks. We played her singing the Australian national anthem on her last show there. I'm sorry.
She is Austrian, but she's lived in London her whole life. Mm-hmm. And she's been her voice has appeared with Hans Zimmer, you know, the composer for movies.
Yes, of course.
She's had her voice in many, many things, and she's performed for royalty. She's an amazing lady and so much fun. We can't wait to get her on the show on Monday to talk about all those wonderful things and her career, and maybe give everybody some tips on singing and stuff like that, because that's always a cool thing to learn. So awesome lady. Her name is Marika Rusha. I think I've pronounced that right. I will double check with her because I wouldn't want to not pronounce her name properly. But she's an adorable lady, a lot of fun, very friendly. So, she's going to be having a good old chat with us on Monday. It's going to be a lot of fun, so.
Well, I look forward to that, and we will also continue this discussion. I want to migrate over, if you will, to some of the. You know, we talked about different types of relationships, and I want to kind of spend some time talking about a glossary of terms that are utilized today versus, let's say, a decade or so ago. In determining the type of relationship we live in, the identity of how we define ourselves. I mean, I want to get into that. There's so many terms that are used today that I'm like, what's that? And I want to go over the current terms that what we may have not heard a few years ago that are just in everyday conversation today that are new to me and new to many of our listeners and not so new to many of our listeners as well. So that'll be a fun discussion. We'll do that. Maybe we'll pick that up Monday. We're bringing on our special guest. Maybe we'll get her to sing for us. I don't know.
Very much so. That would be awesome to do. I was planning on asking her, so whatever she does, I don't know.
That would be cool. If she doesn't sing, you'll hear me sing a version of Tiptoe Through the Tulips. So tune in for that. Thank you. It is Friday. We are on earlier today, but we are normally on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11 p.m. in UK, 6 p.m. in Eastern Daylight Time, and on the West Coast, where our Los Angeles studios are here for the Andy Mander Show at 3 p.m. So thanks for tuning in. I probably don't have a whole lot of listeners on my side of the world right now anyway, in the middle of the afternoon, unscheduled for our show. But, have a great weekend, folks. This has been a great discussion. Amanda, always a pleasure. It's great great doing this.
My darling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, so.
Everybody have a great weekend.
Yeah, we'll see you Monday. We're done for the week. Another week under our belt. Bam, in the books. We'll see everybody. Take care.
Have a good one.